Blog Talk Radio.
You mute it?
Yeah, it's on mute.
I'm muted, Mr.
One of these days we all will stand in judgment for every single word that we have spoken. One of these days we all will stand before the Lord and give a reason for everything we've done. And what I've done is trust in Jesus, my great deliverer, my strong defender, the Son of God. I trust in Jesus, blessed every Redeemer, my Lord forever, the Holy One, the Holy One. What are you gonna do when your time has come? Is done, and there's nothing you can stand on. What will you have to say at the judgment throne?
Miami, Florida, that's where he lives, but he's doing a workshop this weekend, and he's calling from Minnesota to speak with us today. How you doing, Raphael?
I'm blessed. How you doing, my brother?
Doing pretty good, man. It's good to be able to speak with you and you volunteering to come in on the show today.
Thank you for having me, man.
I'm glad to have you here and very blessed to be able to learn some stuff from you today. Yes, today,
to you guys.
Yeah, pretty cool. Yeah, today is a wonderful day. It's a beautiful day here in North Carolina. The sun's out, the sky is blue, and that's always a sign of something good. It might be a little cold outside, but it don't matter, you know. And everything's working out good here. And you know, today is a good day to be blessed. And I'm gonna get right into Lord shared a scripture with me. It's Romans 1, verse 5. It says, through him, God gave me the privilege of being an apostle for the sake of Jesus Christ in order to lead people of all nations to believe and obey. This also includes you who are in Rome, whom God has called to belong to Jesus Christ. And so I write to all of you in Rome, whom God loves and has called to be his own people. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. Praise the Lord. And I always ask the Lord before I start the show to give me a little bit in the Word what to do. And here lately he's been putting me in Romans quite a bit here lately. And it's talking about, you know, becoming a priest. He wants us to step into our priesthood is what he wants us to do. And a lot of us are scared to. Can't write Raphael, some of them are.
Definitely.
And, and that's where we got to put on our big boy pants and step up to the plate. And a lot of us has been trained ever since we were kids to do this. I mean, we don't know we was being trained, but God was doing his own refining, you know, through the years, make us better people. And then when that refining done or that diamond making thing is done, like they say, you know, you're like a diamond. You're a piece of rock to start out with, and he keeps on putting fire around you and fire around you and create you to be that beautiful diamond one day. When you become that beautiful diamond, you're ready for the ministry. You're ready to do God's word. And it's like it with a lot of ministers, with a lot of people of God. They went through a lot of hard times, and they, you know, God has refined them to a point where they do great service for the Lord. They really touch people with their lives. And a lot of times when they go through this situation in their lives, you know, that they went through, they can use that to touch other people that other ministers weren't able to get to. And it's awesome how that works. But, you know, I'm glad everybody is doing good today, and I hope this show blesses everybody. Raphael, how's your workshop going on down there?
Oh, my brother, it's going amazing. We've seen a lot of transformations. A lot of freedom, a lot of, you know, God is bringing a lot of freedom to a lot of people, and we're focusing on that, on relationship, on intimacy, primarily, you know, the big three things that when God, you know, instructed me to start doing stuff like this, even before when I was younger, the three things that God showed me was what I call the three I's: intimacy, identity, and inheritance. And he told me, teach my people that, you know. And so when you focus on relationship with God, you find out who you really are, and that's when you know, you discover who you are and who, what you can do and what you have, what's already been provided for you, and you enter into your inheritance, meaning, like, it's really all about being aware and being awakened to what has already been done for you, so that you can enjoy it here on the earth. So you can have heaven on earth. And so we're seeing a lot of people being set free, and as soon as they're set free, they you don't even have to convince them to want to do something good for someone else. As soon as they're set free, they want to go ahead and go right back and set other people free in their neighborhoods, their spouses, their friends, their families. So we're seeing a lot of quality transformations that are lasting, and friendships and that are being built, and family. I mean, people are waking up to the idea and to the truth that we are family, and that we are, you know, one, and that what affects one affects the other, and that we're supposed to be, you know, walking in love with one another, serving one another, caring for one another. And so we're seeing lives being transformed, you know, in a week. People come here for a week, and they come with all sorts of ideas, all sorts of agendas, if you want to call them that, and they leave free. They leave free from agendas, from filters in their minds, ideas about God and about themselves that have kept them for years, wrong ideas that have kept them from years from experiencing God and knowing God and getting to know who they really are, as God says they are. But it's tremendous. I mean, I wish I could just give you like one sentence, but it's amazing what God is doing, my brother.
Amen. It's just amazing how God uses these events like that. And, I mean, I've heard about, you know, some conferences and workshops. I mean, a few workshops back in the old days. And it's kind of like each workshop is always different. Nothing's never the same. God's doing different things all times in the workshop. And each individual has an appointment there, no matter what. And, you know, and each person is going to be going through a different situation at the workshop. I mean, you really never know. It's not, as we know, it ain't us. It's God's appointment, personal appointment with these people. And God's personal appointment, that's when he starts working. It might be when they go to bed that night, like they listen to you speak like that evening, and when they go to bed that night, the Lord starts working on them. That's when their, I say, consciousness is not really aware of it, and he can do more work. And then they'll wake up, they're like, wow, this feels good. I'm ready for another class today. And then, you know, they keep on getting fed, and before you know it, they're being transformed, and they only sit down and listen to a few classes, man. And it's amazing how, you know, Christ works and grace works when you're filled full of, you know, like anytime, you know, people was doing kingdom work and doing healings and stuff, you know, the Lord says, always say, the kingdom is among you. It's not that, you know, the kingdom from heaven has fallen down. It's that the kingdom that God has created inside you is among them. And then, you know, when Christ comes and opens himself, when you receive that Holy Spirit and you receive Christ, that's when that kingdom starts growing. And when that kingdom starts growing, that's when you start seeing, you know, some of these miracles and you have these workshops and you see people transform because the kingdom is open in front of them. Sometimes the kingdom is open in front of them, the people that the kingdom's open up, they don't really realize it. But he's really using you for a tool and you know, doing some some great things for people and really transforming folks. And Raphael, you've been in this type of thing for a very long time, ain't you?
Yes. I mean, I've been working with the Lord for a long time and had a desire to help people since I was a teenager. I had an encounter with the Lord when I was 6 years old, and that encounter led me to be healed a year later from epilepsy. I used to be epileptic. And then I went through a period of time when I was from 11 to 14 that I was having experiences with God in my room, like heavenly experiences. And ever since, I had this love for the Word of God and the Bible, and I would read the stories in the Bible. And I didn't really grow up in the church, but I grew up reading the Bible and experiencing God on my own. And wanting to have a community, wanting to have people around me that I could talk to about some of the experiences that I was having, but at that time I just didn't have anybody. But when I was 17, I had an experience with God where I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you know, or if you want to call it, or awakened to that. And 4 days later, after that initial experience, I was already healing people in my high school. And then I took it to the streets, and then I took it to the hospitals. And so ever since I've been doing that, I started doing street miracles before I started doing the School of Sonship. The worships that we do, they're called the School of Sonship. But before that, I was doing, you know, what I call street miracles, which was recording videos and of healings and supernatural stuff that God was doing in the street. And now there's, you know, a bunch of us doing that. That's a lot of us. Yeah, it's a lot of friends that were doing that. But I decided, you know, God was speaking to me about discipleship that we could have, you know, I could spend my whole life doing videos and putting them online, but it's not about one guy doing it or two guys doing it. It's about us as a family, you know, as an army, as a family, walking in the supernatural naturally. And in order for people to be able to walk in that stuff, they need to be discipled. They need to be taught intimacy, identity, inheritance. And but there is no discipleship without fellowship. So the format that we have, we don't have any format when you come to one of our school of sonship. Sometimes we'll be fishing. I mean, right now I'm in Minnesota and it's really, really cold. You know, it's like there's snow and there's so much snow activities that we could do. But in the summer, there's a lake here that we can go on the boat. We can go and fish. We can go if people want to go hiking, they can do that. If they want to go, there's different activities that we have. It's beautiful here. It's a resort, a cabin resort, and there's beautiful cabins, and it's really beautiful. But the powerful thing is that as people, as we're doing these activities, I'm teaching, you know, my friends are teaching. I do this with my friend Eric Wilden in Sioux Beach. They're teaching, I'm teaching, and people don't even know their minds is being renewed because we're just hanging out. We're having breakfast and we're teaching. We're having dinner and we're teaching. And we're all here together for a whole week. And so it's like we're living life together. But as we're living life together, their minds is being transformed and their walls are down because it's comfortable. Like there's no pressure on them. They're just hanging out. So God is renewing people's minds. And at the same time, people see healings, people see deliverance, people see the supernatural. The Holy Spirit is free to do whatever he wants, and a lot of supernatural things happen here that transform people. So, we're doing this now, but it started for me back then when I was a kid, and it's something, a fulfillment of something that God started with me a long time ago that I didn't even know how it was going to look, but now God is putting the pieces to the puzzle together. So, yeah.
Hey, yeah, that's amazing, man, that you're able to do that, because I know, you know, a lot of people, when they go into a church setting, they're thinking about sitting there and being still and trying to be as quiet as they can. And there's a lot of people that has workshops and people scared to stand up and say anything. But when it's kind of like Jesus taught his disciples, man, he didn't teach them all into a synagogue and said, you know, this here is what you 12 are going to do. You know, it wasn't like that. He took them out by the tree out in the woods, and he sat and talked with them, ate with them, you know, spend time with them, and then taught them as he would spend time with them. And, I mean, if the master did it, you know, that's the best way to do it, you know? But
yeah, I think so.
That's how it's done. I bet he did teach in multitudes when he had his sermons, and each segment was designed for a different type of people. He had a segment for his disciples to train them to do what they need to do. Then he had a segment for, you know, the people in the synagogue and stuff to listen. So he had different segments, kind of like you're doing there. But yes, it's very important, you know, when their guard is down. And I've noticed, you know, I do a lawn care service on the side during the summer months. And I have different kids, different people that don't have any jobs to ride with me, and then their guard is down, and you can minister to them, you know.
Yeah,
it's awesome like that. And when you're doing somebody's yard, you can minister to them, like, you know, hey, you need to do this. And I'm like, yeah, you remember about Jesus and that? Their guard is completely down, and it's kind of like the thing you're doing with your workshops. It's like, when you least expect it, like when you have them out on a boat and you're fishing with them, they're thinking about catching bass, and then you start talking about Christ and just adding it into the situation, and that they're not really concentrating on, you know, way they should be thinking or this and that. They're concentrating on having a good time, and when you're adding the ministry or the word with having a good time, that's when the doors is open and the Holy Spirit can come running through. They don't got the guards up, you know. But,
yes, exactly. I mean, that's really the science, because I think that a lot of times people come here and they've been to churches, they've been to seminars, they've been to conferences, and they expect, you know, a curriculum, they expect a format, they expect an hour, you know, like a schedule. And we don't really have a schedule, you know. I mean, I've been doing the school sonship since July of last year, and we do it every month, once a month. And we're taking it different, you know, like this year we're going to go to Sweden, we're going to go to Scandinavia, we're going to Mexico. We're taking it on the road, and we're also going to be doing it, you know, in Miami and of course, here in Minnesota. But when people come, they have an idea of what a church setting looks like, or a Bible study, or they've been to conferences, like I said. They've been to that, so they're used to that. So when they come and it's completely different, it just breaks their mind. It takes them outside the box, because I think sometimes we need to take people outside the box where God is so they can see God, because a lot of times, more than that, people have put God in a box. They say, this is how God is, this is how God operates, this is what God does, this is what God doesn't do. And so when they put God in a box, what they do is that they limit God, and then in doing so, they limit themselves and they limit others, other people around them. So we try to break those limitations and try to show them Jesus in different things, you know, not just, you know, Jesus, you know, in the Bible, but Jesus in the food they eat, Jesus in the conversations we have, Jesus in music, Jesus in art, Jesus in every aspect of life, so that when they get out of here and they go back to their families, they go back to their jobs or their ministries, whatever they're doing, their businesses, they can basically see Jesus and manifest Jesus in those situations and in those places and with those people. God is calling people to be sons and daughters, and to manifest in the world, to manifest, whether you be a lawyer, even if you're a lawyer, you can raise the dead. Even if you're a doctor, sometimes, you know, like you don't have to operate someone, you can just lay hands on them and their cancer is gone. That even if you're a teenager in high school, you can heal your friends, you know. And so God wants a lifestyle of people that walk in the supernatural naturally, but more importantly, they walk in love. They really, really do care about people, and it's not business. It's not for fake. It's not because just because the Bible tells me that I should, you know, love my neighbor. No, but I really do want to love my neighbor. I really do love my neighbor for real in my heart, and I want to just be Jesus to people, you know, be a reflection of who Jesus is, his love, his heart, his mind, and his love and his power, his life in my everyday, you know, with no agenda except, you know, to love people.
Amen. Yes, that's the thing. You're walking Jesus' shoes, and the more we try to reflect in, the more I'll say we're doing things right. But, that's the main thing, is walking Jesus' shoes and try to reflect in. And if you're not reflecting him, you know, you're jumping off the path a little bit. You know, I know back in the biblical times of the disciples, you know, when they was walking with Christ was kind of, you know, like having a hard time with the disciples, because, as we all know, they was fishermen, and, you know, they wasn't some of the best people that you would run into. And he's trying to turn them into disciples, and, you know, in times in the Bible, you can see where he's having a hard time with them. He's like, how many times have I got to tell you this? Are you listening to anything I'm saying? I mean, knock on wood. If your ears closed, you know, and he keeps on, and then, but after he died and he rose again and he was ascended into heaven, it's amazing how these, you know, these rough guys turn into some amazing apostles, you know. And that's the thing that Jesus saw in them before that they was transformed. They was that rock that he was transformed into a diamond. That's kind of like what I'm seeing that you're trying to do with folks on your workshop. You're trying to turn that rock that don't really have that much of a form yet, and letting the Holy Spirit transform them into a diamond that God knows that they can be, but to get that process going. And there's a lot of people, you know, like you were talking about street healing, there's a lot of people that come to a point that they're kind of scared to do that because they have that fear, like, what if I touch him and nothing happens? You know,
yeah.
It's always in the book. And when you go with somebody that has experience with this and they know what's going on, you know that God's already doing something with them. And, I've not been no street ministry like you or anything, but I have did healings and prayed for quite a few people. And the thing that I had the same problem. I was like, what, nothing happens. And the Lord himself, I didn't really have a whole lot of people to train me a whole lot about, Christian healing and stuff. But the Lord would have to tell me, he's like, something, I've already healed this person. Why are you thinking, twice about that? It's already done. When you said it's done, it is done. Now, the Lord would actually tell me this. What you said is done. In my name, it is done. No second thoughts about that. Can't be like, okay, well, but it's a process, And once you gain that faith, and like that faith that you have, when you step to that person on the street, they're going to be healed. There ain't no ifs, ands, and buts about it. When you touch them, the Lord's going to manifest a healing to them. And then everybody sees it, and it brings people closer to the Lord. And it's, people like you and people like many other ones like you that, gives us that faith and gives us the hope that, that the Lord brought to us and lets us put on our big boy pants where we can go out and do the same thing as y'all do. And that's one of the main things there. But, Raphael, we're going to go right into the song, and we're going to come back, and I'm going to do a full interview with Raphael and let him know about a lot more of his past and how the Lord really, showed up to him and some things that opened up, his mind and really got him strong in the ministry. We'll be right back, folks. I'm going to play the song Forgiveness.
Today, it always goes to those who don't deserve. It's the opposite of how you feel when the pain they cause is just too real. Takes everything you have to say the word forgiveness. Pride, it moves away the mad inside. It's always anger's own worst enemy. Even when the jury and the judge say you got a right to hold a grudge, it's the whisper in your ear saying set it free. Forgiveness. Prisoner free, there is no end to what its power can do. So let it go and be amazed by what you see through eyes of grace. The prisoner that it really frees is you. Forgiveness. Forgiveness.
Yeah.
welcome back, everybody. We got Raphael here. We're going to go into his interview fully. And how's it going, Raphael?
I'm doing amazing. Thank you. How you doing?
Yeah, doing pretty good. Raphael, where are you originally from, man?
I was born physically manifested, in the Dominican Republic. It's an island in the Caribbean, next to Haiti and close to Cuba and Puerto Rico. The Dominican Republic.
Was you raised there your whole life or just for your life? Or?
No, I actually lived there with my grandmother and my aunt. They raised me. My mother was working in Puerto Rico, and I was living there since I was born all the way to 11 years old. When I was 11 years old, I moved to Miami indefinitely, and I've been in Miami ever since.
Amen. How you like it down there in Miami?
Miami is good. It's great. I mean, I actually spend more time in Miami than any other place. So I actually spend more time in America, here in North America, than in the Dominican Republic. So you can say that I was sort of, at the later part of my life, I was raised here in America. But Miami's awesome. I like it. Yeah. I don't like the traffic, but it's great.
The question that everybody's thinking, have you saw Will Smith yet?
In Miami? No, I haven't seen Will Smith. I mean, the area that I live in is not, it's more of a neighborhood. It's not, you know, South Beach or, you know, because they have TV shows out there that Miami Vice and stuff like that. So everybody who hasn't been to Miami think that everything is like Miami Vice, but it's not really like that.
Just an inside joke there. But anyway, when you first, you said you lived a supernatural childhood, Conley, that the Lord had always had a tab on you. Now, how did he always have a tab on you? How did he keep up with you?
Well, the earliest, if I can call it that, the earliest episode that I have, I mean, and thought that I have of interacting with God was when I was 6 years old. You know, I'm pretty sure he was doing things before I was six, but something that is in my memory is when I was six. When I was six, I had an encounter with him where I went to a river with some other teenagers that were in my neighborhood without telling my parents, and so I went after them. I used to basically follow them around wherever they went. They were, you know, the cool big teenager kids, and I was 6 years old. And I was in this river, and they were basically playing with themselves. They were playing among themselves, the age group, and I was in the water by myself, and I was going deeper and deeper in the water, and I didn't know how to swim. And it was kind of like the wave was coming, the waves were coming in a river, and I was kind of like tippy-toeing in the cliff of a rock, like the edge of the rock, and a wave came, and he just basically knocked me down, and I started sinking in the water, and I didn't know how to swim. And I started swallowing all this water, and wrestling to swim, but all I'm doing was sinking. So I was sinking and sinking and sinking, and basically started drowning, and started seeing pitch black. Started, you know, in desperation there in the water. I didn't even know about Jesus really. I mean, I didn't know about Jesus. I mean, my family was not really into Jesus like that I knew of. But I don't know.
Really religious or anything? Yeah.
Yeah, they were basically. They were basically Catholics, but they never really talked to me about Jesus. But out of my spirit, I said, Jesus, please help me. And then an invisible hand grabbed me by my forearm, and it took me out of the water like a torpedo underwater. And then I was at the shore vomiting, you know, just vomiting water, coughing. And I was asking the people around there. I remember a lady and some other people. And I said, who took me out of the water? And she said, no, you're crazy. You know, you came out of the water all by yourself. And then and then that moment really just marked my whole life, because after that I was looking for Jesus as if he was like an actual person that I could talk to, and he had an address. And I'm like, where did he live so I can go and talk to him? But nobody in my neighborhood really knew much. They couldn't tell me. They couldn't really show me what I was looking for. I was looking for a relationship, like a real relationship, and they didn't know. So, like months later, I moved to the capital, to Santo Domingo, and there I used to basically be epileptic. I used to have epilepsy, and many things happened. I ended up a pastor once. I met a pastor. He gave me a children's Bible with pictures, and I would read it and read it and read it for hours. And one day I was reading it, and it was like the Holy Spirit just revealed to me, started making sense. It revealed to my spirit that I was Son of God, that Jesus was my Savior, that all these different things about Jesus that nobody out in my neighborhood could answer, Holy Spirit answered for me when I was 7, and I was completely healed from the epilepsy from that moment on. And then that was the beginning of how I started really interacting with God.
That's awesome. So in your teen years is when he really started working strong on you and starting to get you ready for the ministry. What was your experience in your teenage years when you first got baptized by the Holy Spirit, and how did the Lord, and you said you had supernatural visitations from the Lord. How was that? How did that go?
Well,
how did he show up to you?
Well, the visitations, they started before I even knew what the baptism of the Holy Spirit was. The visitations were, there was a period of from 11 years old to like 14 years old where I would have experiences with God, heavenly experiences, and God would take me up, you know, heaven, and I would come back and see things. But it started when I was 11 and all the way to 14, and they were almost exactly the same. They would start the same, but there would be different things happening. I mean, for many years, I didn't even have anybody to talk to about this stuff, and I put this on video recently, like last year. But it was something that I didn't for many, many years. I just kept to myself. The way that it happened, it was out of the blue. I was alone in my house, and one night I just had the initial experience after I finished praying. And then I started having all these different physical things, like electricity going up and down my body, wind, heat, thunder. And it felt like I was traveling, you know, and then I was going through a tunnel, going up through a tunnel. And then I ended up being in a place, you know, which, you know, later on, well, I already knew my spirit, but I was 11 years old, but I knew it was heaven. And there was, like, different colors that you don't see here, sounds and music that you don't hear here, and angels traveling really, really fast. And as I would blink, I would see angels kind of like slow down and see. And it was these colors and beautiful. It was a beautiful atmosphere. And the experiences would last for 25, 30 minutes, but it would feel like I was there for 5 days, 10 days, 20 days. And so I got, you know, very the first time that it happened, it was a surprise. Then by the second time that it would happen, and any time that it would happen, I would feel it coming on me, and I would just get excited. But I just thought those things were kind of normal, you know. I didn't think that they were abnormal. I thought it was, everybody's experiencing this stuff. Every Christian, every person is experiencing this thing, because God is just good like that, and you know. But then when I started going to church, you know, by my late teens, almost 19 and a half, I started seeing that that not everybody had experiences like that. And so I started, you know, basically thanking God for the ones that I had. I was like, oh, God, thank you, my God. You know what I mean?
That's pretty awesome, man. It's pretty awesome that, you know, the Lord chose you to, I mean, I'm sure he's chose other people, you know, along the years, but it's like when he chose his personal people, he wants to show them what they're going to inherit, you know, one day. He wants to share all that he can with them. And, you know, there's some people that couldn't take that, man. They would probably see it pass out. What in the world, you know? And there's some people that's open to that. And it's, I mean, I've heard stories about certain ones, but it's amazing that, you know, how these things transpire to you. During these times, did he show the Father to you, or did he, I mean, what all did he, you know, show you? Just things about yourself, or what did he do there?
Well, I mean, it was a time where I would, you know, hard for me to describe the experiences because it's really hard to describe those things. But it was like in my physical body, in my room, I will be having an experience, and then in my spirit, we'll be having a different experience. So my spirit will be in heaven, aware of heaven and enjoying heaven, the music in heaven, the colors in heaven, the angels in heaven, Jesus in heaven. And then my body will be experiencing electricity, and I will be aware that I will be aware of my body and my spirit at the same time. So there are times that I will see my body in the bed, being electrocuted and shaking and all this good stuff. But at the same time, my spirit is with Jesus. My spirit is seeing the angels. My spirit is hearing the music. My spirit. So I have multiple. It was multiple layers of things that I was experiencing at the same time. And what it did to me was that it reinforced the ideas that I had in my head that everything is possible. Because I never had anybody tell me that the miracles are not for here, that they're not. Like I said, I didn't grow up in the church. I grew up experiencing God, and every time that God would do something new, it would just reinforce that idea that everything is possible, that He loved me, and you know, when I tell this story, sometimes I like to bring in a little balance, because I see that there's a lot of people that they experience God when they're little kids, and they just forget, or they just don't react the way that, you know, maybe I reacted or other people have reacted, because there's people that have been saved when they were little kids, that they had things, supernatural things that happened to them when they were little kids, but they just forgot, or they didn't, you know, went back and realized that the source of that thing was God. And they just say, oh, maybe I was lucky, or maybe, you know, whatever. They leave it to luck, or they said, oh, I was lucky, I was blessed, you know. But what happened to me when I was six was powerful enough to make me want to have a relationship with this person. And I think that the only difference was that, you know, when it came to like those experiences that I've had and that I'm having now, is the way that I've respond to God. But I think if people respond the right way, then you can experience anything. Anybody can experience anything. So it's not like I don't feel like a special person. I feel like this is for everybody. I feel that this experiences and God wants to use everybody. God wants to have a relationship with everybody. So this stuff is for everybody, you know. So I don't want people to hear this and say, oh, he was chosen for that. No, I want them to understand that this is for everybody, and that if they open their hearts and their minds to the Father, to Son, to Holy Spirit, they can experience this and more, you know. And God is not a respecter of person. He loves everybody, but not everybody has the same heart towards God, you know. And depending on your heart, you get, you know, you experience things according to your heart, not according to how much you know or where you're from or how old you are, but according to your heart.
Or how many scriptures you memorized, or, you know, it don't.
Yeah.
It's a thing about, you know, how people think, you know, Jesus judges you or sees you and all this and that, and it has nothing to do with your brain. It has nothing to do with your physical appearance or how many people you've went to the soup kitchen to help, and it doesn't matter, you know, how many bags of bologna you gave to the poor. It's all how your heart, what's in your heart. I mean, you could be the most wonderfulest person at church and really love people, but your heart is really dark, and you really have hatred towards people. And that's why he doesn't look at anything you did. He looks at what your heart is. He goes to to the inside. When your heart is pure, that's when he's able to work with you.
Yeah.
And until then, I mean, everybody has faults, and he understands that. That's what his blood paid the price for, is for those faults, to help cleanse you, to clean you up. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. He's the worker and the teacher for you, and you've got to allow him to help work with you. And he starts cleansing that heart out, and it keeps on transforming. But, you know, it's and there are some people that their heart is already pure. I mean, there's some that's born like that, that's had problems in their life that made them like that, you know. And, and they get to see these things. And, you know, everybody, like you said, everybody has a chance to see these things, but it's all about working on yourself and letting the Holy Spirit do his job to transform you. And like you said, God is no respecter of persons. He don't care if you're 2 years old to 35 to 85, you know. He wants to show you all that he has. But it's up to you, you know, if you can handle it and if you're pure enough for that to transpire. But yeah. Raphael, when did you start your street ministry? What part in your life did you start your street ministry?
Well, right after I had that experience and baptism of the Holy Spirit, I was 17 years old, and I remember that I was doing, you know, I was not going to church or anything like that, but I was in the Bible club in my high school. At that time, I was going to the largest high school in population in the United States. I was involved in different things. I would carry my Bible around in my high school. They used to call me preacher. They used to call me, you know, either Father Ralph or preacher. And I experienced one day that it was something that happened to me one day that I took all these Bibles. This youth pastor, I basically harassed. I don't want to say that I, but I pressured. I was like, he had all these Bibles in a warehouse, and I said, can you please give me the Bible so I can give it to my classmates? They want Bibles, you know. So I went around all my classes, and I asked who wants a free Bible, but you know, tell me, you know, please let me know, you know, you're going to read it. I'm going to give it to you for free, but please, you know, at least read it. So I had 66 kids that wanted Bibles. So I took, you know, I went to the church. They gave me 3 batches of Bibles. And the next day I spent the whole day just giving Bibles and praying for people in my high school. And it was 66 kids. And it was a really cool day. But when I went home, you know, I thought I was going to be really, really happy that day, but and I was happy, but when I went home, I felt like a weird feeling, you know, and I guess it has to do because of everything that I experienced supernaturally. I knew what was possible because I grew up, you know, just, you know, seeing, you know, Jesus and going to heaven and being healed from epilepsy and being, you know, being protected from dying, from all these different things. So I knew that the supernatural was real and that the stories that I read in the Bible were real, and Samson and Jesus healing people and his disciples healing people. And so when I, because even though I gave Bibles to people in my high school and I prayed for them, I wasn't seeing healings and miracles like I saw in the Bible. So I came home. I told God exactly how I felt, and I said, God, there has to be more. There has to be more. And so that night I couldn't sleep, and it was like 3 in the morning, and I had this really old laptop with this really old connection, American Online, AOL, dial-up connection from, you know, this is 2001. And so I couldn't sleep because I was thinking about, God, there has to be more. So I opened up my laptop, and I Googled Holy Spirit. I just put Holy Spirit, and it took me to like an article, and it talked about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And when I read it, it was really good. It was about Holy Spirit. It was really good, but there was one line in the article that said that that basically you needed the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You needed the baptism of the Holy Spirit for the power, and if you didn't have it, then you didn't have the power. And I just didn't like that. So I said, Father, I don't know if I'm baptized or not. I don't even know much about this stuff, but I'm your son, and I feel disadvantaged. So give me this thing right now. I want to experience it right now. and it's mine. I want it right now. And so, I mean, that's how I talk to God. I feel like, you know, if Christ paid for it, then it's mine, and God wants to give it to me. It wasn't that I was ignorant about it. I was not aware that it was available to me. But once I found out that it was available to me, I wanted it. So it was like a Tuesday, 3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, Tuesday. And then so I didn't feel anything after that. I didn't feel nothing different. But then when I woke up in the day and throughout the week, I felt weird. I felt different. I don't know what it was, but I felt weird. And then on Friday, it was like 4 o'clock in the morning on Friday, and I had to, like, wake up in 3 hours to get ready to go to my high school, take the bus to go to my high school. But I'm awake praying, and I'm on my knees praying, talking to God. And then I'm just talking to him in regular English, plain English. And as I'm talking to him, all of a sudden, like, I start talking in tongues. They just came out of me, and I was just shocked. I was like, what is this stuff? I didn't know what it was. I didn't have, like, information on what this thing was. But that same day, I got ready to go to high school. And after high school was over, there was a guy that I used to know in high school, a student there, classmate, and he asked me to pray for him because he was addicted to cigarettes. And he couldn't stop smoking. He was only 17 years old. And I laid my hands on him, on his shoulder, and I was going to pray a prayer like a sympathy prayer, something like, even though I did care about him, but I was going to ask God to do something for him. That's the only thing I knew how to do. So I put my hands on his shoulder, and I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, I couldn't even finish saying Jesus before I felt like just power, electricity going through my arm, and it touched him. And when it touched him, he started coughing, and he basically vomited, you know, close to my shoes. And you know, there was like this nasty stuff that he vomited, and I thought he was being nasty. And I was like, man, I'm praying for you, and you're being nasty. You know, what's wrong with you? Why are you vomiting on my shoes? And I guess he was getting delivered from some stuff, and I didn't know what it was, but basically that was the first real miracle that I saw God do through me. After that day, I would see him all the time, and every time he would see me, he would just come and give me a hug and tell me, preacher, thank you, I'm not smoking no more, thank you, I don't know what you did, but thank you. And he would just thank. I said, don't thank me, thank God. And you know, and then from that day on, I was 17 years old, and God, some way, somehow, started training me. And so I would end up in places in Miami, in hospitals, and I didn't even have a car. I would just end up in hospitals. I would end up in neighborhoods, different neighborhoods with different people, in pools, healing people, and I didn't even know who these people were. But I would just end up in those places. And this continued for about almost 3 years till I started going to a church. And then once I started going to a church, that's when I realized that not every Christian was doing this stuff. And because I thought that I was like behind because I didn't go to church. So I thought when I go to the church, when I finally go to a church, I'm gonna see people flying because people go to church. You know, I thought that everybody in church was flying because you know they're in church and they have pastors and you know. So when I went inside the church and I saw that how it was, I was like, what is this? You know, so, but I continue, you know, doing things. When I went to the church, they didn't want me to heal people in the church that I was in. They didn't want me to pray for anybody. They didn't, you know, they thought, you know, they're like, you don't have a title. You don't, you know, you're a baby Christian or things like that, they would tell me. So I wouldn't do it in the church because it was illegal. I couldn't do it. They told me I couldn't do it.
It's illegal. Yeah.
Basically. So
you had
I just continued.
You had to have a prayer license, I guess.
Well, I mean, the things that they told me when I initially went over there, there was basically stuff that, I mean, if you were just to hear the things that they would tell me, you know, and I was 19 and a half. I was still, 19. I was still a teen. And and I thought that everybody just wanted the same thing. I thought that everybody just wanted people to know Jesus and people to be set free and people to, you know. But there was an agenda in the church. There was business. There was an agenda. There was a fear that people had. And they had the hierarchies and the titles. And people, they thought that if you had a title, if you had some sort of theology major, a degree in theology, that was what made you anointing, that's what made you powerful, that was what made you close to God. And here I came, I was 19 and a half, and I was God was doing all these miracles through me, and I've never really been part of a church. And so some people didn't like it, you know, I said, okay, I'm not going to do it in the church, but in your church, because I'm going to follow your rules, but you don't own the streets and you don't own the hospitals. So till this day, this is what I've been doing, you know. But now I'm more like, I want to teach people to be who they're called to be who they are in Christ, to be sons and daughters in Christ. So it's not just me doing it or one of my friends or, you know, but no, all of us are walking in this thing. And kids too, you know, like even for kids, you know, like, you know, I have a seven-year daughter, and she's been hitting the six, and she was like 3 and a half. She started before I did, you know.
Amen.
So, and she has a wonderful relationship with God. So this is for everybody, you know. I tell this is
Amen.
For everybody. Everybody.
Amen. I mean, somebody could bring, you know, some of their kids with them to the workshop, you know, if they'd want to, and learn some stuff. Yeah, that's amazing, man, how you started your street ministry. Now, when did you start your workshops? Was that like a couple of years after that? Or
no, I had the idea. I had the idea to do it when I was 17, because I had the idea, and then as soon as I started going to a church, you know, when I was like 19 and a half, I started seeing how the church was, and because I didn't know how the church was, except maybe the Catholic Church, because my family went to the Catholic Church, my mother and stuff like that. Once in a while they did. But when I started seeing the state of how things were in the church and how that system didn't really work, I mean, because the way I see it is like in the churches they have one main guy or a group of people exercising, walking, and maybe some of us they're supposed to be calling, they're supposed to be walking in, but then the rest of the people are just taking notes. The rest of the people are not active in being who they're supposed to be. They're not active in being the church, you know, because they're just audiences. I said, this system doesn't work because the whole body is not exercising. You cannot exercise your arm and then leave the rest of your body without exercise, because you're going to have a strong arm and a weak body, the rest of the body.
Mm-hmm.
So I had the idea to do it since I was a kid, basically, since I was like 17. But in my city and the people that I knew, I didn't have help. I didn't have anybody to do it with. But last year, I met some wonderful people here in Minnesota, you know, and my friend Sue, my friend Eric, my friend Pete, Brooke, all these different guys that are part of the royal family. You know, we're not a clique, we're just family, and we just basically we do things together. You know, we don't want to be long rangers. We just do, you know, we hang out with our father. We do ministry, whatever you want to call it, together, and we decide to do it together.
That's amazing,
out of love.
Yeah.
And so I just met all these guys. You know, we've been in contact for years, but we last year we met and we clicked and we decided to start doing this thing together. So we started last year in July. So from last year in July, and then every month we would do a school sonship, you know, until this day, you know. So we do it this year. We have some more coming, you know, every month. And we're going to be taking school on the road, you know, to different places. You know, we're going to be in Sweden, like I said, maybe Mexico, and different places in Miami and Minnesota. And so that's when we understand that it's about discipleship, that if people's minds are not renewed, that their mindset is not renewed to who they really are and who God is, and they start experiencing God for themselves, they'll go back to what they know. It doesn't matter if
Amen.
Even if you pray for some, if you pray for somebody in the street and they get healed, they'll thank you and they'll be thankful to God, and you know it's something that God can use in their lives. But if their mind is not renewed, they'll go back to what they know, what they're used to their habits, because their mind has not
mm-hmm.
changed. And so
yeah.
people need to focus on discipleship. They need to focus so they can see change and transformation that will last, that will be
mm-hmm.
Forever, that will not just be, oh, I had an encounter and then I went back to into the system of the world and, you know, and now I just forgot everything that happened to me. No, people need to be disciples, and people need to know that they need family. They need people around them that care about them. But like I said, there is
Amen.
No discipleship without fellowship. So we
heal,
we disciple through fellowship. We disciple through relationship. So the kingdom of God is about relationship with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but also relationship with one another. You know, so
Amen.
If we really want to see the kingdom manifest, the kingdom being expressed and manifested throughout the earth, we need not only relationship with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but with relationship with one another. We cannot be, you know, individual. We cannot be, you know, fighting and trying to compete with one another. We can't be, you know, envious of one another. We have to, you know, we need to be serving one another, honoring one another,
Amen.
Loving one another. And that's when we're going to see the body for real manifest who the body is, you know, the body of Christ, manifesting the mind of God and the heart of God.
Yeah, you know the family of God, you know, they got to come together. They got to love one another. They got to respect one another. They got to get along. And that's one of the things that the churches nowadays are. They're so separated in many different ways, and they can't decide on anything. But, you know, they all came from the same, you know, they all worshiping the same Lord, but, you know, they just can't get along. And that's some of the problems that Apostle Paul and all them had with them, because, you know, they're all going different ways, and he's trying to get them all back on the same page. And they're still like that today. And like you're saying, you have problems in churches with doing healings and stuff. And the church I really originally came from, where I did my ministry and stuff, when I left there, I couldn't see my home church was a Lutheran church. And Lutheran church is cool and all that, but not a lot of that goes on. So I had to find a church nearby home, a Pentecostal church, where I could lay hands on people without them freaking out. I'll say, this church is kind of free. They allow you to do anything you want to, but they're used to the minister doing it. And a lot of them don't know that I've been a minister too. But, you know, the Lord will guide you to go and talk to somebody, and he knows that it's open. Now, he'll do that anyway, but he's really stronger when he knows that he has freedom in the place of worship, and he'll guide you to go talk to so-and-so or talk to this person and pray for that person. That's how he works. And anyway, you know, I'll be guiding. I'll be chasing people around the church. You know, hey, I got something I want to talk to you. And it wouldn't be like a word of knowledge. It would be like something that you've done in your lifetime to help them out, to help them understand the situation that they're in. And it may be a prayer, and it may be a word of knowledge, you know. But a lot of times it's just, you know, referring love to them, letting them know that, you know, not a lot of the things of the world is correctly. You know, love is the abundance of, you know, God's work, and you've got to love one another and love your family for things to work out right. And a lot of people don't see that. But it's like, you know, like you said, it's very hard in some of these churches today to show the power of God to people, not unless they, you know, you got a paper of, you know, being a minister or having some type of degree or something like that. And back in the biblical times, nobody had a degree. They was all what they called dumb fishermen, and they had no education at all, and they was casting out demons. And like Christ said, you know, when he anointed them, he's like, I've seen the kingdom of hell falling from the sky when I was sent y'all out. And it's, you know, it's amazing to somebody that don't really know a whole lot how God can use them. And,
yeah.
It's amazing. It's amazing, man.
Sometimes
but,
it's better not to know a whole lot.
Yeah. It makes it easier when you're raised up in it. It makes it easier, you know. And you had an amazing story there, Raphael. And at this time,
I'm going to tell anybody that wants to call and talk to Raphael or you want one of us to pray for you, dial in 347-996-3615. It's 347-996-3615, and we'll pray for you. If you want to ask Raphael a question, I'll be more than happy to let you speak to him. And we're going to go into a song, and I'm going to repeat this again. It's 347-996-3615. We'll go to a song, and we'll be right back.
Thank you.
We're back with Raphael here, and if everybody would, we're going to say a prayer for everybody. And right before I say this prayer, I'm going to ask anybody that's not accepted Christ, anybody that's not accepted Christ, I ask you to accept him now. Holy Spirit, touch their heart. Have them to go to the phone or go to their personal place in their house and say this prayer with me. Now, if nobody has ever accepted Christ, just say this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I accept you as my Lord and Savior. I accept that you died on the cross for me on Calvary. I accept that you rose again for me. Now, I ask you to put your hands on your heart and say, Lord Jesus, forgive me for any sins I've done and any sins that I've done that I have no knowledge of. I ask you to forgive them too. And say, Holy Spirit, come into my heart. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. And say, Lord Jesus, I ask you to take this heart of stone and replace it with a heart of flesh. Thank you, Jesus. I ask you this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you just said this prayer, the Lord has just entered your heart. You're going to start seeing transformations going on in your heart. You're going to start seeing your life open. You're going to start seeing things happen in your life you never saw before. You're going to start feeling freedom in your soul. Because Christ is going to come and cut that thread that the enemy has on you. He's going to open your heart. He's going to live within your heart. You're going to sit on that throne of your heart, and you're going to see things transforming your life. And I say this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, right now, I'm going to go ahead and let Raphael, he's going to pray for it. You know, any situation that's going on that the Lord's going to show him, you can go ahead and say your prayer, Raphael, if you're ready.
I'm ready. Okay. Father, I just thank you for everybody listening, Lord, to this radio show. Thank you, Father, for the people that are listening now and the people that are going to listen later, Father. I just bless them. We bless them together, Father. We just declare your love upon them, Father, your love, your peace. Lord, we just release your love on the airways and your peace, your glory, Father, your joy, Father, to those that are feeling weak right now, Father, because you're yours, their strength. So, Father, just thank you, Lord, for relationship, Father. Thank you because you're bringing, Father, people into relationship. And when they hear this recording, when they hear this you know, radio show, Father, they're going to be encouraged to relationship with you, Father, encouraged to live a supernatural life with you, Lord. That they're going to be reminded of the times when they were little and they had experiences with you, Father. Maybe they have forgotten. Maybe they have put it in the back of their minds, Lord, and maybe they had believed that it was in their minds and it didn't really happen. But Father, you bring in remembrance of the things that you've done and the ways you revealed yourself to them when they were little, Father. And you're igniting that fire for relationship, that fire for the supernatural inside them, that passion to know you, Father, in an unlimited way, to experience you, Father, and to walk in who they are and who they are called to walk, Father. So I pray for destinies, Lord. I pray for people's heart to be touched, Father, for their hearts to be ignited for relationship more than anything, Father, for freedom, Lord, that you may bring freedom to everybody that listens to this show, Father. Freedom in their minds, freedom in their bodies, freedom in their souls, in their emotions, Father. I declare healing. Anybody needing healing, I command you be healed now in Jesus' name for whatever, whether it be physical, whether it be mental, whether it be emotional, be healed now in Jesus' name. I declare who God says you are. God says you are healed. He says you are whole. He says you are loved. You are accepted. You're not rejected. He says you have peace. He says there's nothing wrong with you. Nothing wrong with you. Nothing missing, nothing broken. That's what God says. That's what heaven says. And Father, right now I agree with heaven for the lives of those people, for everybody listening, Father. I just agree with you, Father. And Father, just thank you. I thank you, Lord, for my brother, for what he's doing for his radio show, Father. May you continue to expand this, Lord. May you continue to grow this, Father. May you let his voice be heard, Father, be heard in the homes of people, in telephones, in smartphones, in computers, in cars, in boats, in airplanes. Let his voice be heard, Father. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in him, Father. Thank you for the way you're using him, Father. And, Lord, I pray that you may continue to provide everything he needs, Lord, to do this show and for all the other ideas that you've given him, Father. All the other ideas that you've given him, may they come to pass, Father. Thank you for the grace you've given him, the power and the love you've given him, Father. And I thank you for the people listening. Love, peace, joy unto them. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, thank you.
Amen. That was a powerful prayer. I could feel the Holy Spirit touching the airwaves right then and there. I'm sure when somebody opens up this episode, they're going to get smashed by the Holy Spirit. They're going to be like, man. But it's going to be an awakening experience for them. But, yeah, it's amazing how the Lord touches people through, you know, YouTube and Blog Talk. And there's a lot of people right there on Blog Talk. You know, there's a lot of famous speakers on Blog Talk right now, and they're really touching a lot of people. And this here is really the way that a lot of people is going because, you know, you can access these shows. You can access these shows and put them on your iPod. You can listen to them on your computer or when you're at work and you're typing in your report, and you can listen to these shows. You can listen to them anytime you want to, and that's what's so amazing about these shows because radio shows, you only listen to them one time a day, and you have no access to them, not unless they're programmed into their site or something. Most of the time, it's hard to do that. They have to play the show over for you. But on Blog Talk, you can listen to these things anytime you want to, and just check out all the check out the archive for the Healing Light Show, and you'll find many different things. I had Jason Wade on here maybe about a month or so ago, and he had a series about speaking in tongues. It's amazing. We had one about Art Montgomery last week. He had some amazing things to say. We had a little mix up with his time schedule because he was in California and he kind of got it mixed up there. But we did get to do the show and he did get to share what he was wanting to share with us last week. And we've had many different people on here and they've all touched everybody. And I'm sure some of the sermons that, you know, has been preached on here has touched people. But the main thing of this show is to share the word about Jesus Christ and how he's going to transform your heart and live in your heart and transform your life. This show is all about showing the healing light of Jesus Christ in your life. And I want to implant him in each and every one of y'all. He's like a seed that I'm digging out a little hole in your chest, and I'm planting him there. I let him expand you, you know, let you live the life of glory, to live that happy life, to live that, you know, glorious life that God created for you, not the life of suffering and hatred and all this. I want you to live a life of happiness and love and transformation as we've all created to be. And that's one thing that's so great about this show. You can go, you know, I've got the Healing Light page on Facebook. As soon as you go on the link of the Healing Light show, go to the Facebook page, like it. If you've had any healings from the shows, any transformations that the Lord has touched you, leave a comment on there. You know, just say, hey, you know, somebody, you know, you prayed for us on the show and, you know, my leg got healed, or the Holy Spirit came on me and I felt something amazing, you know, happening in my life. You know, when I got done listening to the show, you know, my marriage started coming back together, things like that. I mean, you never know. I mean, I went to the Family Dollar yesterday with my wife, and I stood in front of the counter, and the lady was on the cash register, started feeling heat. The Holy Spirit was hitting her while I was buying some candy. So, you know, you really, really never know. And she's like, I'm feeling awful warm right now. I didn't tell her why she's feeling warm, but I knew that the Holy Spirit was working on her, and I didn't know what was going on. So that's the first time I've had that happen. Or it might have happened other times and nobody really knew, they didn't say anything. But, you know, the Holy Spirit will touch you, and he will transform you, and you will start seeing your life open. And that's the one thing that, you know, this show is all about. And I ask y'all to come in. If I have some new listeners right now, we have it, or I have it,
every Thursday at 9:30. Saturdays at 10 a.m. I have guests. You know, some Saturdays I might not have guests. You know, whatever, you know, the Lord puts in my mind or, you know, brings to me to do. And it's like Raphael, the Lord put him in my mind to get a hold of him and bring him on the show. And, you know, everything worked out. And there's been some times where, you know, the thing didn't work out. But, you know, the Lord made preparations for somebody else to come into the site. But, you know, this show will touch you. This these broadcasts that we do here will transform you. You just got to give them a chance and, you know, invite people to this show. You know, say, hey, you know, I've listened to this show. And, you know, I've had a healing from it, and I've, you know, learned some things from the Word of God. You know, just come and listen to it. And, you know, Raphael, I'm going to invite you to come back on here again. You know, anytime you want to come and hang out with me, you're more than welcome to come and hang out with me, man.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. I'll take you on that, man. Thank you.
Yeah. And, you know, if you got some people that would want to talk to you, you know, there's a lot of people listening to you on YouTube, but they can't talk to you, you know, not unless they go to one of your workshops. But on here, you know, they can come and speak to you personally on the phone that they couldn't no other time. Or, you know, any other, you know, person that I talk to, you know, they can speak to them. It's a wide-open thing. And I bring some, you know, people on this show that it works in signs and miracles because they're the ones that's been walking in the shoes of Jesus for years. And you want to talk to somebody that's been walking in the shoes of Jesus, that's been seeing the miracles, that's been seeing the power of God, it's had that communication with God, because they can open your eyes to things. Not to the people that never saw a miracle, that's never saw a transformation, or somebody's went to bedside and prayed for them for years and nothing really happened because there's something in them. Now, I'm not saying their prayers won't happen, but that there's something in them that's holding them back. Jesus is always open to anybody, but it's us that holds people back. I'm talking to people that, you know, that things are happening, that, you know, I want them to share their lives where things are happening to my audience too. And that's the main thing. I want to see transformation. I don't want to sit back and get, you know, wishful thinking. Wishful thinking is for you know, some of these other colleges and stuff. That's wishful thinking. I'm talking about wishful of your spirit, transformation of your spirit. And that's what Jesus Christ is going to do in your life. When you listen to this show, and then the Holy Spirit touches you. And, you know, I'm very blessed to have Raphael on today. It's like, you know, he's like one of the main spiritual guys that I listened to when I started getting into signs and miracles, you know, walking in the Christian faith. I never did know that the Christianity really had signs and miracles anymore. And you know, I've always saw some of these big guys on TV laying hands and this and that, people falling over, but, you know, you think that's just TV, but when you see a young man like Raphael on the street, you know, hitting the dirt and doing, you know, signs and miracles in front of McDonald's or something, and they're standing at the drive-thru in the name of Jesus, their eyes open, you're like, man, this is real, you know, and it's amazing, you know, and that's what it's all about. That's what we all supposed to be doing. Just think. If we all hit the streets proclaiming the name of Jesus Christ and healing people, how the crime rate would fall?
Yeah.
How would the crime rate would fall? The jail cells would be empty, the prisons would be empty, and the government would be running out of a job.
Come on.
Because, yeah, that would be amazing, wouldn't it?
Yes, that's where we're going.
Yeah, that's what it's all about, man, is transforming souls, because in the background, the enemy is controlling these people. How do you think these gangbangers come together? It's the enemy transforming these people, transforming them into being, you know, bad people. We originally ain't bad people. We've created by God, not by the enemy. And once we stump the enemy out of these people, they're not controlled anymore, and they're like you and me, you know. They're loving people like everybody. But we just got to, you know, get Christ on the street and see this transformation going on. And that's what it's all about. But Raphael, I'm glad that you stopped in today and got to, share a little bit of your life here on my radio show today. And I'm sure it's helped many a person on here. A lot of people have been touched by your story. And, you know, you encourage other people to go out and do the same thing that you do. Where would it be what is your website that people can get in contact with you about your street ministry and stuff?
Well, if they want to see what I'm doing here in the School of Sonship, or, you know, meet any of my friends in the royal family, you can go to streetmiracles.com. There I have all the videos, teaching videos, healing videos, things that we're going to be doing in the future, the dates for the school. Everything's there, streetmiracles.com. And there there's all the other links for Facebook and YouTube, and they're all there.
Amen. Yeah, just go to streetmiracles.com, everybody, and check out his website, and you know, see what he's doing, and maybe it might be a workshop nearby your town. You know, you can go and check him out sometime. But
bless
you, Raphael. Yeah, God bless you, Raphael. We're gonna go right to a song, and I'll see y'all next Thursday. God bless every one of y'all.
God bless.
Months is too little. They let him go. They had no sudden healing. To think that providence would take a child from his mother while she prays is appalling. Who told us we'd be rescued? What has changed, and why should we be saved from nightmares? We're asking why this happened to us who have died to live. It's unfair. This is what it means to be held. How it feels when the sacred